This podcast may contain explicit language and spoilers.
Have you seen those like hilarious memes of like people shipping Bucky and Gap?
Ship them where?
Wait, no, do you know what shipping means? Like to ship someone? You know, like a relationship? Like people say like, oh, I ship so-and-so with so-and-so. Like they want them as a couple.
This is the first time for me.
What? How do you consider yourself a nerd? I don't understand.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of Grounded Geeks. And thank you for sticking around with us. My name's Iman.
And I'm Lena.
And this episode, we're primarily going to be talking about Black Panther. So a few weeks ago, there's a new comic for Black Panther. For those of you who don't know, Black Panther, king of a super advanced country, Wakanda, and all-around badass.
Yeah, we really like him. Black Panther! Black Panther! Never mind, okay.
So I know the theme song you're referring to, but that's awful.
What? That's not... Is that a real theme song?
Yeah.
Did you not see? No. What?
They had this thing on Netflix where they turned this old like origin story Black Panther comic into a moving
comic thing. Oh, right. You told me about that. It's not on Netflix anymore, is it?
No, it's damn not. It. Yeah. I was really sad when I found that out.
What, they had a theme song?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was kind of what it was like. It was like,
oh.
I mean, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to do justice to it.
I feel like that's not really original, but whatever.
It sounded mad cool.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Not. Anyway, okay. So, Iman, first impressions of the comic book.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, you know, it was a little bit confusing at first for me because this isn't an origin story. Like, it kind of picks up after a whole bunch of stuff has happened. So, when I read it the second time, I like paid a little bit more attention to that introductory paragraph on the first page.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, so that's what's going on.
Do you not read those introductory paragraphs?
You know, I do, but like at the first run, I kind of just blow through it.
You're like a really bad comic book reader, I just want to say. I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Hate you too.
Okay.
Your first impressions?
Wait, did we say, by the way, so this comic book, what makes it really cool and what definitely drew me to it was the fact that it's written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is like, I mean, like, if you don't live under a rock, you should know who he is. He, like, writes for The Atlantic, has written a lot of cool articles. His most famous one is called The Case for Reparations.
Yeah.
And his newest book is called Between the World and Me, which is like awesome, awesome, awesome.
Oh, and if you're not convinced that he's a badass, he won a MacArthur Genius Grant.
Yeah, like who does that? Geniuses,
exactly.
All right, so that's the writer, and then the artist is Brian Stelfreeze, who is a legend in the comic book industry, and the colorist is Laura Martin. So
phenomenal. I mean, the artwork is so kick-ass in this.
Yeah, it's really good.
And it's half it tells the story in and of itself, you know. It gives you the impressions.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I think my first impression.
You loved it too, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't love it,
We wouldn't be talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved it, and I really, my first impression just by opening the first issue of Black Panther was like, wow, this is, first of all, beautiful. And it just finally is like, thank you. I feel like we're finally going to go deep into this character and really get a better understanding of who he is, where he comes from, all of it. So I'm excited.
I mean, in the past, you know, I mean, first of all, for those of you who don't know the history, Black Panther was first showed up in the Fantastic Four in like the 60s or something.
Okay. Yeah.
And so keep in mind, this is the 60s when, you know, black people were still very much second class citizens and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you have an actual black superhero who is very, very like a legit dude. And he's the ruler of a super advanced country. I mean, this was in a sense very enlightened way of thinking for the 60s,
yeah.
Especially considering that I think it was Stan Lee and Jack Kirby who created Black Panther. So, you know, for two white guys.
Like, yeah.
Thank like, you.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And also they came up with the name Black Panther before the Black Panther Party, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is important. Mm-hmm. This was not in relation to the Black Panther movement, like the in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, also credit to them for not changing the name just because you had this group pop up that was not too popular with white people.
All right. So Black Panther is the ruler of a fictional country called
that already.
Wakanda. Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, I totally spaced out. Sorry. Anyway,
focus on what we're doing
question.
Okay.
What are actual real life countries that are similar to Wakanda in terms of like their advanced technology or maybe how isolated they are? What comes to mind, Aman?
Well, you know, it's hard to think. There isn't any country that is perfectly analogous to Wakanda. And I mean, if there is, then we haven't heard about it yet because, you know, they're just that isolated.
Yeah.
Just like Wakanda.
Oh, that's true. Weird.
Yeah. What if there is a country that's super
advanced? What if there's a whole civilization that we just don't know? Well, there probably are, like in the Amazon or something. Right? No?
There are tribes.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
I think they wear loincloths.
They might be more advanced than you think.
We've bumped into some of them. Oh, not that advanced.
You're so mean. Okay. Go on. But what other countries do you
think of? So, I mean, one thing that comes to mind is one of those oil-rich countries. Like, if you take Saudi Arabia or Venezuela or something. I just found out Venezuela has the largest confirmed oil reserves in the world.
How did you just find out about that?
No, I mean, I knew they were up there, but for the longest time, people suspected it was Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
But now it's been, like, confirmed. Of the confirmed reserves of oil at Saudi Arabia. Anyway, right. So you've got Wakanda. They've got, you know, this very unique, very versatile element called vibranium. And that's kind of what all of their technology, their sciences, their society, it's based on using this material. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting, you know, like oil is similar in the sense that it's a fuel source. We use it to make plastics and we use it to make petroleum jelly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got petroleum
right
there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's also very versatile, but all of these countries, they just exported it or exploited or they were exploited. You know,
but not Wakanda.
But not Wakanda. And so it kind of makes me think, you know, if a country like Saudi Arabia took all of those oil resources and instead of exporting it, turned it inwards, you know, and used that as a way to build their society and come up with new ways of using their oil reserves and whatnot, instead of just trying to make a quick buck by exporting it rather than using it. I think in that sense, if that had happened, I could see a Wakanda-like situation.
Yeah. I feel like Saudi Arabia and all these other countries that just... They're like I don't want to say evil version, because that's just mean calling an entire country evil. But, like, they just took, like, the bad route, right? I mean, I
don't know if it's... Like, it kind of looks like... I mean, I don't know. I look at Wakanda, and it's like, you know what? It's showing the missed opportunities of what could have been possible.
So, why do you think this book is important? Because, I mean,
I don't know. You tell me why it's important.
Okay, fine. I will. Well, I mean, it's kind of what I was saying from my first impressions, right? That this is, like, a chance to finally kind of, like, portray Black people in a very different light, in a way where it's just like this whole comic is just full of Black characters, which is really important, and because they're always
free of the stereotypes. I think that's the big thing is the being like to have this whole country where it's free of the stereotypes that we typically live in. And let's be honest, we're all a little bit racist.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is. I mean, we all just have these subconscious mm-hmm. impressions. I mean, it's not like, I'm not saying that we're all like bad people or something.
Yeah.
But
like it's Redneck just, Randy.
Oh man, I hate Redneck Randy.
Yep, he's the worst.
That guy's a douche.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Real dickhead.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that was weird. Oh, right. At this point, we also want to give a quick shout out to the Phantom Comics book club discussion that they had about Black Panther, because that was really fun and people had really interesting comments about that. And the thing is, like, it's so easy to fall into stereotypes, right, about minorities or minority characters, blah, blah, blah. Really, that's why it's so important who they bring on as writers. The fact that they have Ta-Nehisi Coates makes me feel a lot better. I'm like, great, I don't have to worry about, like, whatever.
Do you remember that old, it's not that old, but the 99? DC did this whole thing called the 99. Mm-hmm. And
it was like all those Muslim superheroes.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like they were all Muslim, but the entire, at least I saw the TEDx of the TED talk of the guy who created it and whose name I cannot remember for the life
it's
of
like
me.
It's like Naj.
We'll put it up on Tumblr. We'll put it up on Tumblr for you.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, what he was talking about is that there's a lot of analogies in terms of Christian mythology. You know, you've got Spider-Man with the spider coming on high, you've got Superman who's basically like Jesus, so he wanted something that was coming from a different origin, in this case Islam. And what the result was just 99 stereotypes.
You think so?
It really was. I mean, it was not well done.
Like stereotypes about Muslims or what?
Just in general, like pick a stereotype.
About who?
Like, the white guy was, like, the stereotypical white guy. The Saudi guy was, like, the stereotypical Saudi guy.
Yeah.
You know? Like, different I mean, that's just all it was. It didn't...
Yeah.
I don't know. They weren't developed very well as individuals. Which...
I never...
segues greatly into what I wanted to say next. What were you going to say? And then I'll segue.
Were there actually 99 characters, though? Or was it just called that?
No, the idea was that it was basically going to be the DC version of X-Men. And the idea was that it would eventually probably get up to 99.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
but it was, I remember... like,
the hunt for the stones.
But I remember being really excited when I first heard about it, though.
I was totally stoked.
I was stoked. I was like, this is going to be dope. Oh, my God. Like, there's finally some brown people in comics, and there are, like, some Muslims in the mix.
Yeah,
like,
and then I read really some, exciting. And I saw the cartoon show, and I fell asleep.
No, I didn't watch. I didn't end up reading any of it or watching it. No, I did read some of it, but yeah.
It was disappointingly not good.
Yeah.
Anyways, the segue that I wanted to get into is that if you've read Between the World and Me, which you should if you haven't.
Honestly, really, you should. I mean, educate yourself, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that Coates talks about in that book, you know, I mean, this is a letter to his son, and one of the things he really emphasizes is that you have to think of everybody as an actual individual. When police brutality crime happens or there's gang violence, you know, the people who die, you can't just think of them as like, oh, it's so sad they were victims.
Mm-hmm.
But to really think about what it means for them to be individuals, these are people who died, who have left behind family and friends, who are impacted by all that stuff. And so I think that's, and I don't know about you, but that's, I really felt that this comic, Black Panther number one, it really does that. Because, I mean, the Black Panther himself is in actually very few frames,
mm-hmm.
On very few pages.
That's true.
But all of the different side characters, they're not just there filling in a role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just tell they're individuals. They have their own motivations. It's like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Except with less death.
With less death. Right now, so far.
So far!
You've only read issue one.
I know.
It's like Game of Thrones, but less death.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. I had a thought, and I lost it. Damn it! I don't remember what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
It always only happens around you. I just
So you say.
Yeah, because I'm telling the truth. Okay.
Moving onwards. Black Panther as an Avenger. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's a king of a country.
Why would he even want to help avenge other people?
Yeah, go out into space.
Yeah, come on.
He's a country, and he's got shit to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, king stuff.
Yeah.
What do kings do?
Rule.
Yeah, I know, but... I don't
rule
know.
Usually...
Preside over the court.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we basically decided that...
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and go ahead.
That, in terms of, like, the Wakandan way, I mean, the country's been isolated forever and ever and ever, and it's worked out pretty well because they've never been conquered, but I think for the Black Panther, there's a very, you know, he's a warrior, and his way of diplomacy means, like, actually going out into the world and space and whatever and helping people fight, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way we were sort of thinking about it is that if you have a country or a culture that is very intensely warrior, like tribal warrior culture, which is how Wakanda is portrayed, you know, it's this very old warrior tradition country, you know, they kind of think that talking about stuff is bullshit. But, you know, if you have this country and all of a sudden you've got this warrior king who now finds out that he needs to start interacting with the world and wants to make allies and whatnot, how would he go about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not over a game of golf.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just sort of think about it. Like, how would somebody who is a fighter, a warrior, make friends and allies? It's by fighting with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a bond that happens when you fight or struggle with somebody else. And I think that it makes sense to me. I don't think any of the makers at Marvel ever thought about it that way. Any of the past writers or even
they just kind of threw him in fights and were like, here's Black Panther.
We're just supposed to accept that because, you know, he's a guy in a kick-ass suit and being a badass.
Yeah.
But
I like
just
how
sort of supposed to accept that.
Yeah.
But if you think about it that way, I don't know. It helped me. It helped me to think about it that way.
I also like how, like, in this issue, they're obviously going to address that, right? That the people are upset. Like, Wakanda's in a state of whatever, chaos right now.
Yes.
And the people are like, why the fuck are you going off to, like, New York City or wherever, you know, to help these people when you can't even help your own countrymen? So, like, they're definitely addressing that issue.
I think that's going to, like, as the story progresses, I think that's going to be a major, major plot point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What should we talk about now, man?
Oh.
The Wakandan clothing?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes. So, you've got, you know, the Black Panthers, the Dora Milaje, who are, like, supposed to be his ever-present bodyguards and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my god, like, so impractical. Like, I don't care if you're in Africa. Like, you can't fight in a bra.
Nope.
It does not...
It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. I hate it.
Yeah.
I really still do not... And I know, like, even when we see the movies, and I'm just like... Like, for example, like, tangent here. But, like, Psylocke's costume in the upcoming X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse... I saw the trailer and I was like, that looks ridiculous. Like, really? And I remember you turned to me and you were like, yeah, well, it's pretty consistent with the comic. And I'm like, that's the problem. I think the comic itself is wrong. You know, like, I think the way these people are drawing female characters' costumes is so annoying. No woman in her right mind would go into battle wearing any of those things. Except the only one who's actually, like, a normal, like, okay, makes sense costume are, like, all the agents in, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. and Black Widow and stuff.
Yeah, so what did you think about, just as a disclaimer, we all saw Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to spoil or ruin anything for you. But it's kind of hard not to bring up the portrayal of Black Panther in Civil War.
I mean, to sum it up. It was awesome.
It was. And they didn't make it, like, stereotypically offensive.
Yeah. I was like, well done, Russo brothers. Nice. Yeah. Way to not be racist.
Yeah.
There was also more Black Panther than I thought there would be. Like, in general. I did not realize he was going to be in that much of the movie.
Yeah, part of it.
Which
I'm
nice.
So glad he was.
Very refreshing.
Yeah. And I really liked the character just in general.
Mm-hmm.
I
just love Chadwick Boseman.
Oh,
he's so great.
He did so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the whole Wakandan African accent thing.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Which, you would expect. But let's be honest. It's hard to do that well.
Yeah. It's very... And I think they did do it well. That's the thing.
They did. So. That was the most mind-blowing part. They did do it well.
Yeah. I didn't feel any of my, like, you know, get any...
You're super sensitive.
Yeah.
sensitiveness to racist.
Yeah, exactly.
And people being racist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, anytime you hear somebody faking an accent, it's either not done very well or it's caricatured.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look, it's the Asian guy, Ching Chong China.
Yeah,
I mean, or, you know, yeah, motherland Russia, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but with this one, they did it in a way where you could actually believe that these are natural accents, that that somebody would actually have an accent like that. They did a really good job of that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it's such a minor thing.
What, accents?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, the whole movie, the portrayal of Black Panther, it feels like it's such a minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it just struck me as really, really important.
No, it's a huge thing. And I think they spent a lot of time, like, trying to figure out that accent.
Yeah.
Which makes me
You
happy.
Could tell.
So, yeah.
You could tell that they spent a long time trying to figure that out, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good.
And now, a new segment for you from Grounded Geeks, A Minute on Race. Go.
Tilda Swinton is playing the Ancient One in Doctor Strange. The Ancient One is supposed to be a Tibetan monk. She is literally the opposite of a Tibetan monk. Speaking of Asians, the only time we get to see them on screen is if they're flying mystical ninjas, like in Daredevil Season 2. By the way, Silk is Asian. I don't mean the fabric, I mean the other Marvel Spidey superhero Silk. Her name is Cindy Moon, and she's Asian American. I did not know that. That's probably my bad. Speaking of Spideys, I was looking at the cast list for Spider-Man Homecoming, the new Spider-Man movie coming out next year, and I think all his friends are actually going to be people of color. They cast Zendaya, which means shit just got real. Welcome to Queens, am I right? Okay, moving on. Aquaman isn't going to be another blonde surfer dude. Mahalo, Khal Drogo. Sad news. Iron Fist is still going to be white in the upcoming Netflix series. It's really sad. And everyone on Arrow is white. Even the token black guy's wife is white. Question, are there any non-white Kryptonians? Boom. That's your 1 minute on race.
And there you have it, folks. A minute on race. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Grounded Geeks for the second episode. Our next episode, we're going to be covering... We touched on Civil War a little bit this time, but we're going to be covering it a lot more in depth after we watch it, you know, again. Because, you know, for research purposes, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Never.
But thanks for joining us. Hope you stick around for our next episode.
Yay!
Hadi bye bye. I'm not dumb dumb. You're dumb dumb.
Your face is dumb.
Your face is dumb.
Original music by Angry Neighbors. Check out more of their stuff at www.soundcloud.com/angry-neighbors.